If one bear holy flesh in the skirt and of his garment, and with his skirt do touch bread, or pottage, or wine, or oil, or any meat, shall it be holy? And the priest answered and said, no. So simply, if they were bearing something that was holy, and they came in contact that was unholy, would just because I had something holy, meaning that I touched this, is going to make this table holy? The answer is no. Then there's the next question. He says, if in verse 13, and then said Haggai, if one that is unclean by a dead body touch any of these, shall it be unclean? And the priest answered and said, it shall be unclean. So it's the same type of principle. If they become unclean by touching a dead body or unclean for any reason, if they turn around and they touch something, is that going to make it unclean? The answer is yes, because of the fact that that transmits that way. We'll keep on going. I'll come back to that in a little bit. It says, then answered Haggai and said, so he says, so is this people, and so is this nation before me, saith the Lord. And so is every work of their hands, and that which they offer there is unclean. And the thought process that's found in verse 13, that no matter what they did, because they were unclean, it was unclean in God's eyes. Even though they had began working in the temple again, in verse number one, they began listening to the temple, they began building the temple, even though they were mourning a little bit in chapter two, you seem seeing that they get that right. This is the next message. Even though you're doing something in the name of the Lord, if you're unclean, it's going to be unclean in God's eyes. Well, no matter whether it's the sacrifice, and that's what he uses. So is this people, and so is this nation before me, saith the Lord. So is every work of their hands, and that which they offer there is unclean. Now I pray you, consider from this day and upward, from before a stone was laid upon a stone in the temple of the Lord. And he said, since those days where one came to a heap of 20 measures, and there were but 10. When one came to the press vat for to draw out 50 vessels out of the press, there were but 20. I smote you with blasting and with mildew and with hail and all the labors of your hands. And yet ye turn not to me, saith the Lord. He shows the different times when he withholds certain things to get their attention. Because they were continuing to just live their lives like everything they were doing was fine. Even though they were unclean, they kept on doing sacrifices. We see this so much in the beginning, right before they're going into captivity. They kept on doing all the rituals. They kept on doing all the sacrifices. They kept on watching all the days, but they were doing it with an unclean heart. And because of that, the Lord said, these are things that I've done to you to try to get your attention, to try to say, I withheld these things, not because I hate you, not because it's because I want to get a hold of your attention, because you continue to do this. You continue not to get these things right and continue not to get these things taken care of. Verse 18, consider now from this day and upward. And you say, look, let's make a decision that today and upward, from the 4th and 20th day of the 9th month, even from the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it. Is the seed yet in the barn? Yea. As yet the vine and the fig tree and the pomegranate and the olive tree have not brought forth. But then he says, from this day will I bless you. And it's, yes, he was withholding things, but he says, when you get things right and you start doing things right, I will bless you. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask God's help today. Dearly Father, Lord, I thank you for your word. Thank you for this little book of Haggai. And I pray that we will hear the overwhelming message and that we'll consider, and that we'll consider, and we'll consider. That we won't just take things for granted, that we will take time to be holy, take time to consider the different areas of our lives. Talking about this for a number of weeks, but I wonder how many of us really have taken time to consider the things they're talking about. Consider whether or not we are listening to man's voice more than God's voice, or we're considering more about our comfort than God's glory. And Lord, even now, as last week, about not missing you in our lives, if we're missing you out, missing out on you because of the fact that we're letting things in the past distract us. But Lord, even today, are we missing what you're trying to do in our heart and lives because there's something in there that we just are not willing to get clean? Well, I pray that you help us to look and understand that you care more about the inward than the outward. And that if the inward is taken care of, the outward will be taken care of also. And Lord, if you're speaking about the importance of knowing and being holy, the outward rituals mean nothing as if there's not holiness. And Lord, I pray you help us today. Lord, give me the word to say. Lead and guide and direct in this Sunday school hour. Help it to be a help and a blessing. Lord, I pray that people will look past the messenger and listen to the message. That they would look past the different illustrations and look to your word. And Lord, realize giving it honor to your word. Lord, help us today. In Jesus' name, amen. See, I think sometimes people get a little confused about when God's working, when God's moving. I appreciate what Mrs. Martin said about the Asbury thing, but there's always a time when you're wondering, okay, is that of the Lord? Because so many times things are surfaces things, and that's the idea when we talk about revival. It's there's an outward source sometimes that shows up, and people show up this way, but God always does a surface work that's deeper. God's work is something that is it's a holiness that's there. And there's a rightness that's involved. We should pray for revival. We should seek for revival. If revival is truly happening, what can we do to get involved and be a part of it and pray for that? And all those different things. I understand all that. Visual here he comes to them, and maybe they've gotten some things right, and maybe they've starting to build up the temple like it talked about. In the end, they got their hearts stirred up a little bit. Months have happened, months have come by. They've gotten a little bit sad about the other temple, and now we're seeing that there's something going on. But God is always trying to do a deep work. He's never trying to do a surface work. And sometimes I think people are talking about it's like, hey, as long as the surface looks okay, then we'll be fine. Many times all we're doing is just putting a Band-Aid on, trying to put a Band-Aid on a gushing wound. God is always interested in doing more inwardly and letting the outward take care of itself. He's more interested in our heart. Way down deep is what God's looking for. This morning I was planning on, all week long, I've been praying and working on a certain message. And unfortunately, God told me, hey, I want you to preach something different in the morning service. I'm a little bummed by it, but that's okay. And there's a reason why. Next week, I'm planning on preaching it. As long as God allows me to do it. But it's the idea of, it's talking about the refiner's fire and talking about how he allows trials to happen. He allows things to happen in our life to get a fire. And many times we have to take off the scum or take off the dross and all those other things that come and getting our hearts right. And it's the idea here that God is always trying to deal with us inwardly. You can get people to look right outwardly for a portion of time, but if their heart is not right, something's going to give, something's going to show, something's going to come out of it. I think about the in Mark chapter 7, verses 20 through 23, when the Bible says, and he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within and defile man. So how we act is what's coming out from inside of us. And it's nothing just but the circumstances that come out. And while things happen and they cause things to heat up in our lives, what comes out of us is what truly is inside of us. And that's what he's saying here, that, you know, just because you may be holy on the outside doesn't mean because you touch something else it's going to be holy. Or just because you're unclean, when you touch that, that's also going to be unclean. I love that little tea bag illustration. I know I've used it before, and it talks about how inside of a tea bag, you get the water that's hot, and you put the tea bag inside the water. What comes out is the flavor that's inside the tea bag. And so when the issues and times of our life gets hot and they get hard and they get tough, and the things that we respond is, oh, that's not really me. No, that is us. And that's why we need to change that if there's something that's not coming out right. Because whatever it is that's inside of us is what's going to come out when the temperature is up and when it's turned up and when it's getting hotter. It's sort of like when the refiner's fire, when the drought comes, we got to get rid of that. Because if we don't get rid of it, you know what happens when it cools? The impurities go right back inside of it. It's still there. It's until we're willing to change what's inside of us that's going to truly make a difference. And Haggai is coming, and he's speaking about this idea of talking about how God looks on the heart where we look on the outward appearance. Remember when that famous verse in Samuel says, "Look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." The Lord's strongest commendations while he was here on earth was to who? The Pharisees. Now, on the outside, the Pharisees looked fine. Now, on the outside, the Pharisees looked great. He dealt with individuals, and he never, ever said, "Hey, your sin's okay." He would tell them to go and sin no more. He would help them. And to those that were Pharisees, they had this thought in their mind, "Hey, everything's okay as long as I try to look holy outwardly." And I even think about some of those verses. Maybe we'll come in a few minutes about the Pharisees and look at those. But I want you to remember that they were only concerned about the outside. They only cared about their appearances. They did not concern about what their heart was. What they wanted was appearance without substance. They wanted to look like they were holy, but never took the time to be holy. And that's the challenge that we live in today. Over and over, it talks about it in the scriptures, and that's why I believe this message is talking about when it says, "If one bear holy flesh in the skirt of the garment, and that which and with in verse 12, and with his skirt do touch bread or pottage or wine or oil or whole any meat, shall it be holy?" And the priest says, "No, of course not. Just because something is holy, it touches something else, doesn't make that table holy. If I was holy, doesn't make this holy. But if they're unclean." It's something that will make something unclean. It's not about all the externals. You think about it. If you sit in church, it doesn't make you a Christian. It's not just showing up. It's not just the externals. It's not just, "Hey, if I sit in church, it's going to make..." No, it doesn't. Just if you sat in a garage, it doesn't make you a car. It's not about the externals. It's about a change of nature that God can do. Just because I look right doesn't mean that I'm right. Just because it doesn't make me right with God. It just... means that I've learned to put on a good show sometimes. And that's when he comes to this group and he says to them, "You got to remember, just because you're doing things that are holy and you're unclean doesn't make you right." Sort of like if a person was unsaved and they got baptized. Baptism is a ordinance of the Lord. It's something that's holy, something of God. If they're a sinner and they're unsaved and they get baptized, you know what that does for them? Makes them a wet sinner. That's all it does. And so it's here, just because you're doing these sacrifices in the name of God and they're holy sacrifices, if you're unclean, it doesn't make that, does not make you clean just because the fact you're doing something that is holy. You're doing something that is right. I love the illustration they gave about a healthy man. You think about it. If a healthy man cannot give his healthiness to a sick person, like if I was healthy and Mr. Don was sick, the Sheerans are sick. If I went to the Sheerans and say, "Hey, look, I'm feeling pretty good. I'm healthy today. I'm going to go spend some time, shake their hands, and make them healthy." Is that going to happen? No. But if them being sick with whatever virus they have comes and shakes my hand, could they get me sick? The answer is yes. And that's the exact principle we're talking about here. It's just because you say that you have that holiness, you want to do those things that are holy and do those things that you know that you're supposed to do, but unclean, it doesn't make it holy. It makes it unclean. I believe the sacrifices they were doing, the things that they were doing, it says at the end of verse number 14, "And that which they offer there is unclean." A healthy man cannot give a sick man his healthiness, but a sick man can definitely make a healthy man sick. You can get around sin and hang around it, and that corruption will invade your life. Just because you're around church, that doesn't mean that you're right, doesn't mean that you're holy. You need a work of the great physician. You need a change of your nature, the deep work that God is trying to do here. And that's why I think he's there, and he's saying to these people, you need to let God do a deep work in your heart. Don't just keep on doing something as a show. Don't just say, "Hey, just because this is holy, this is going to make ourselves holy." We need to see ourselves as God sees us. We're unclean in his eyes. And even though they were going through the rituals, and even though they were doing the things, it says in verse number 13, it talks about if they're unclean. Well, if they touch something else that's unclean, will that make it unclean? Yes. A person who's unclean gets up and tries to use the word of God and preaches it. It's going to be unclean. When we do things, even though it may be in the name of God, it means that we must learn and understand. He says to him in verse number 10, tells him in verse number 9, he says, ask now the priest concerning the law. Well, why would he say that? And once again, if there was some things that was not under the law, they would go to the priest, they would ask, seek their advice. But I think he's saying the priests are the ones that are supposed to know, right? They're supposed to be the ones that are closest to holiness. They're supposed to be the ones that understood the law and knew the law. But the Bible calls us now in the New Testament, we're a real royal priesthood, as it says in 1 Peter 2:19 or 2:9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you show forth the praises of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We're the ones that are supposed to know. We're the ones that are supposed to be holy. We're the ones that are supposed to be closest to God. People that should know about this are the people that have the true holiness is what God has done. And what I think he's saying here and what he's telling him in this message, I want you to see yourself the way I see you. I want you to see yourself the way that God sees you. You don't get holy by touching holy things, and you don't get clean by touching clean things. It doesn't happen. Just because I have the right appearance doesn't mean I'm right. And he's telling him to go and dive deeper. It's more than the external. It's more than just saying, hey, just because I'm here, everything's good. A couple things I want you to see out of this is, number one, look what it says in verses 16 and 17. He holds back certain things from them because of the fact that they were acting as if they were right, even though they were unclean. Verse 16, it says, since those days were when one came to a heap of 20 measures, there were but 10. When one came to the press fat to draw out 50 vessels out of the press, there were but 20. I smote you with blasting and with mildew and with hail and all the labors of your hands, yet ye turn not to me, saith the Lord. He's saying, look at what God did to try to get their attention. He says, hey, I allow these things to happen because I love you, because I care for you. It's as if he's putting you under that fire. It's as if he's saying, look what's going to happen. Look what's coming out of you. If you go to chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, it speaks about the testimony they had. It said, you looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts, because of mine house that is waste, and you run every man unto his own house. Therefore, the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. So he's saying that, hey, look, all these things happen, and they happen for a reason. Verse 6, you have sown much in chapter 1 and bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put in the bag with holes. And he's saying, all these things are happening. What does he want them to do? I want you to consider your ways. There's a reason why these things are happening. And so as he talks about considering, you know, have I put God first in chapter 1, he talks about considering not letting the past mess up your future. And the fact, don't miss Jesus. Don't miss the Lord here, what he's doing. Don't let the fact that you look right on the outside, but you're inwardly not right, stop you from being able to experience what God has planned for you. Because even though he was willing to withhold in verses 16 and 17, look what it says in verse 18. He says, consider now from this day and upward. He says, now I want you to forget about those things in the past. Forget about the times that these things were withheld from you. But look what can happen in verse 18. Now from this day forward, from the 4th and 20th day of the 9th month, even from the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it. Is the seed yet in the barn? Yea, as yet the vine and the fig tree and the pomegranate and the olive tree. He's saying, look at the good things that have not brought forth from this day. He's saying, from this day, I want you to mark it down. From this day, I will bless you. If you will do what's right, I want to bless you. And that's what God is desiring here. He wants to bless them. But they had to get the inward and the outward right. And so many times we work so hard and so right. Well, I got to do all these things to look right. I got to do all these things to make sure everybody thinks I'm right. And we leave our inward part so weak and so much in need. And we think, oh, just because I take part in those spiritual things, that's going to make me holy. No, only God can do that. There's a great physician. Needs to do a work in our nature, needs to be a change. And I love that thought. Just because I sit in a garage, I don't become a car. And I think we would all say, just because I sit in a church doesn't make me a Christian. It doesn't. But just because you take part of the Lord's Supper doesn't make you right with God. Just because you're sitting here and listening and sometimes even saying amen doesn't mean that our hearts are right. Think about that verse in Isaiah where he says, "Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men." He says, as their mouth, they would say amen with their mouth. They would come up to the preacher and say, "Hey, good job, preacher. Keep on preaching. Preach hard." But their heart was far from God. They wanted to represent something. They say, "Hey, look, I'm holy because I'm here and I'm acting like I'm holy." But that doesn't make us holy. And this is what the message is to them. I can bless you if your heart is right and if you're holy. Titus 1:16, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and to every good work reprobate. He's saying, look at your results. Look at the things that are happening. Look at what's coming out of you. We know our own hearts. If things, the fruits of the Spirit aren't coming out of our lives, if we're not acting like Christ, there's a problem. There's an issue. Don't get me wrong. I'm all for standards. I'm all for the right outward appearance. That's biblical. It's holy living. I understand that. But we must make sure that our hearts are right and inwardly. If we're right inwardly, we're going to be right outwardly. Take your Bibles to Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23, you see one of the harshest messages that was preached by the Lord. And he talks about this inward and outward thing. He talks to the Pharisee. He calls them hypocrites. But there's so much truth that's found sometimes for lukewarm Christians today. They won't look right because they don't want to have to deal with the thought that somebody thinking that they're wrong. But they care more about what people think than what God thinks. They care more about looking right in front of everyone else than realizing that just because if I'm unclean and I'm wrong and I'm trying to do holy things, it's not going to make it holy. Look what it says here in Matthew 23. You could read a lot of different verses that would be like, wow, that's a tough preacher. But we're going to focus on 25 through 28. "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." He's saying you're playing a role like everything is right on the inside. But he says, "For you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead man's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity." You say, "Pastor, you're saying that I'm a hypocrite?" No, I'm telling you what the Bible says. Consider your ways. When you consider yourself and you consider your walk with the Lord, are we more interested in outward religion or are we more interested in inward holiness? Are we more interested in understanding that I want my heart to be completely right with him more than it is to put on an appearance that other people will look at me and say, "Well, there's a good Christian." And hopefully, if we're right, inward's going to be right and people are going to be like that. And yes, being around things that are holy is going to encourage you in your walk. But just because you're there with someone else that's holy and you're friends with someone else that's holy, it's not going to make you holy. It may encourage you to turn around and become a stronger Christian because you see the testimony there, but you have to do the work. You have to get your heart right. You have to consider. You have to repent. You have to make your heart, make sure that you're walking with the Lord and that you're spending time with him. It's, "Oh, no. Just because I'm friends or because I'm a member of this church, I'm this or that, that's what makes me holy." It's not. And that's what those verses, those words are saying. Hey, just because of the fact that you're touching something that's holy, it's not going to make you holy. Just because you're involved in something that is right doesn't make you right inside. We can look whatever way we want outwardly. And the world might say, "Hey, yeah, that looks good." But that's what the message was for Haggai. And that's what he wants him to do. He says, "I want you to consider your ways. Consider it from this day forward. Now all these things have happened. Turn your heart to me and consider that I'm going to bless you from here out. If we are willing to, he's willing to bless us." So I thought it was interesting that it's not communicable. Our holiness is not communicated. I cannot give you my holiness. Not that I'm holy. But I can communicate those things that when I'm unclean, those things that are wrong. I can hang around with sin and become more sinful. But the holiness of God is something that we must remember. It is not transferred any other way than understanding and getting close to the Lord and allowing God to do a deep, thorough work. He's not interested in a surface work. He wants to take care of what's inside. And that's one of the challenges that are found during the day of Haggai. It's one of the challenges that are found in the day that we live in. Making sure that we're right inwardly. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that the thought behind this message was from you and how it was portrayed and how it was presented. Lord, I truly